It was never about the coffee. Long before customers had a choice of a double espresso or a soy latte, Japanese flocked to coffee shops serving just a couple of kinds of beans for an endless variety of bebop, swing, and avant-garde. They are known as jazz kisa, short for kisaten, tea or coffee shops.
The picture me upon your knee, tea for two and two for tea. Can't you see how happy we get to be?
Tea for two, sung by Anita O'Day, accompanied by two Japanese jazz orchestras during a live 1963 telecast in Tokyo. That was a rare opportunity for Japanese to see and hear a famous American jazz star in their own country. It was also an era when an imported jazz album cost about one-tenth of the average professional's monthly salary. Times and moods have changed. One of the few surviving jazz kisa in Tokyo is Eagle, in the city's Yotsuya district near Sophia University. These days, it mainly attracts businessmen and office ladies on their lunch hour, who pay the equivalent of $9 to sip a cup of ordinary coffee. Eagle was started in 1967 by jazz fan Yohei Goto, the son of a bar owner, when he was a college sophomore.
非常に不思議なところなんですけれども、しゃべっちゃいけない。
Goto says he understands that to foreigners, a jazz kisa can seem like a strange place. It is a library of music, he explains. You are not allowed to talk. Unlike in America, where people listen to jazz for pleasure, in Japan, he says, it is a kind of art appreciation. Japanese people, Goto explains, seriously study jazz as a component of African-American culture. Jazz historian, pianist, and Hitotsubashi University professor Michael Malasky says, by the time Eagle opened in the late 60s, the genre in Japan had come to play a more significant role in Japanese society than it did in its country of origin.
It acquired something of a cultural cachet among bohemian types and intellectuals and writers, so that if you wanted to be considered cool, you basically had to have some familiarity with jazz at the time. It was kind of a rite of passage. To gain familiarity, you needed to listen, and the only place you could listen to this stuff were these jazz kisa.
Protesters against the U.S.-Japan Security Treaty would take refuge from pursuing riot police in the coffee shops, listening ironically to jazz music from America. At some jazz listening spots these days, cocktails, in addition to coffee and tea, are on the menu. One of them is New Dog in Tokyo's Shinjuku shopping district. It opened as a jazz kisa named Dig in 1961. New Dog's owner, Hozumi Nakadaira, recalls the days when the clientele, mostly university students, would spend hours absorbed in the music.
一回入るとコーヒー一杯で3時間ぐらいいるんです。帰らないんです。
Nakadaira says they could stay as long as 3 hours if they ordered one cup of coffee. It was okay, he recalls, to remain as long as 5 hours if a customer bought a second cup. Professor Malasky, whose latest book in Japanese is a study of the history of the country's jazz cafes, explains another compelling aspect is their elaborate and expensive sound systems. For generations of Japanese relegated to cramped apartments with paper-thin walls, the jazz kisa were an audiophile's heaven.
Some of the jazz magazines around the 70s would advertise not only the number of records, and sometimes they had like 5,000, 10,000 LPs in their collection, but they would advertise exactly the woofers and tweeters and the speaker system, and some places went so far as to advertise what needle they used in the cartridge for the phonograph.
Despite that acoustic niche at Eagle, which has been spinning jazz discs for 45 years, owner Goto has no illusions the specialty music cafes will survive for even another 5 years. But he says, proudly, they are victims of their own success. Goto explains the kisa had a big role to play in the 1960s and 70s, but now they have completed their job of introducing American jazz to the Japanese public and witnessing it permeate the mainstream. The love for the voices of Carmen McRae, Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, and Billie Holiday has also created a cottage industry of jazz vocalists in Japan.
Skylark, have you anything to say to me?
That is Grace Maia on her new album, Singing Skylark, a 1942 jazz standard by Johnny Mercer and Hoagy Carmichael. She trained as a classical pianist, but switched to jazz about 6 years ago. Nakadaira estimates there are 500 singers, mostly Japanese women, trying to make a living belting out jazz in English. Nakadaira says most of the audiences probably cannot understand the lyrics, yet they prefer standards sung in English. Japanese lyrics, he contends, just are not considered cool or interesting to Japanese fans. Some aficionados will study translations of the lyrics, but for Japanese jazz fans, as Duke Ellington and Ella Fitzgerald put it,
don't mean a thing. If it ain't got that swing.
Steve Herman, VOA News, Tokyo.
Don't mean a thing. All you gotta do is swing.